Hey.
Guess what we're drinking?
Yeah, I guess. What do you guys think?
They know.
Yeah.
Wait, are you candy cane green?
Candy cane. What the fuck?
Granny cane.
Candy cane. Green, y'all.
Amazing.
And with some honey.
Amazing.
Still divine.
Julia has been sick this week.
Guys, I've been fucked up. I have been down so fucking bad. Well, I've been sick for a week. I've also been on my period. So I have been absolutely fucked up. And then I got insomnia, guys, and horrible
anxiety.
Julia
always has insomnia when she's like sick.
Yeah,
like, that's fucked up.
An issue of mine because
I'm sick, and then if you can't sleep, and then like that's horrible.
It's literally so horrible. It's because usually the insomnia starts because I'm just have my symptoms are too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But usually NyQuil will like take care of it.
Yeah.
But then afterward, I'll just be like, I need to sleep. Like, this is how it's going to heal me. Like, this is how I'm going to get better. And then I just can't sleep because I'm thinking so hard about trying to sleep.
Yeah. It's when you're like, are too aware of like you're blinking, and then you're like freaked out about how much you blink, and you're like, ah, it's like on your mind.
Well, I was too aware of my breathing.
Mm.
And my heart was just racing. Long story short, I had a little bit of an anxiety attack.
She had a bit of a mental B, but it's okay.
But then I slept 10 hours, and everything's fine now.
Julie's in an amazing, happy mood. We went to Costco today to get chicken and a pie.
I was jumping
for joy.
Jumping for joy at Costco.
Yeah.
Having such a great time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, we're having Friendsgiving tonight.
Yes.
So we went to Costco and stocked the fuck up.
Yeah, we did a quick jump from Halloween on our last episode to now.
Yeah,
sorry guys. Life has been lifing, but
yeah, sorry.
We're here. Happy to be here.
Happy to be back.
Some pop culture stuff. What's up with that?
Let me
start with this, because I was just on TikTok. As I was post store like rot, I like needed to go on TikTok a little bit. Okay, the Wicked movie, one, it looks absolutely horrendous. And two, the publicity around it. Have you heard about like the Ariana Grande? What's the other chick's name? What's her name?
I don't know her name.
Oh, Cynthia Erivo?
Yeah.
Okay, the two of them, have you seen, like, press videos with them? One, they're both stick thin.
I've heard about the skin thing.
They've gotten 10 different, like, tattoos for the movie together.
What?
They're always holding hands, like, crying.
And everyone's
like, everyone's like, they're crying because they're fucking hungry, bro.
I did see something that was, like, comparing it to the original Wizard of Oz, which,
you
know, they, like, really mistreated Judy Garland and, like, made her take all these pills.
It's kind of ironic. I'm like, the Wizard of Oz fucking cursed, bro.
Yeah, it was very cursed and, like, a dark, fucked up set. Mm. And I wonder if maybe that's the same. Because they look unhealthily skinny.
No, unhealthily, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, something is wrong.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know.
Suspish.
Right?
And I have no fucking interest in seeing
the
movie.
No fucking interest. And it's weird about the press, too. They're like, it's such a powerful movie, and everyone's, like, going gaga over it. And I'm like, who are these people? I didn't know Wicked was, like, that big of a deal.
I think it's big for the theater kid community.
Yeah, and, like, the gay community, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that makes sense. But I'm like, it's just weird. That whole vibe is, like, weird. Like, I definitely won't see it, but because I just don't think I can sit through it, honestly.
Yeah.
But I am just, like, curious. Like,
I too.
I'm very curious. What else is new, pop culture-wise?
Did
we talk about Nora yet?
I still haven't seen it, but go talk about it, dog.
So good. Saw it twice.
Yeah.
Saw it fucking twice.
Was it better the second time?
It's interesting because I can't, like, spoil it. But the first time watching, you're just really learning about... I mean, it's amazing writing. Like, you get so wrapped up in, like, Anora's character. You're like, still thinking, like, I wonder what, like, happened with her. Like, you're so... Like, it's like she's a real person. It's crazy. So, like, the first time watching, you're just, like, figuring out all these dynamics and all these people and, like, what's going on. And it's not, like, super, like, plot-driven. There's, like, not a whole lot going on. But then you, like, watch it the second time and you already know everyone's intentions and everything that happens at the end. And then you're like... Mm-hmm. You're like reading it from a different view. Mm-hmm. So fucking good. Just like amazing writing, honestly.
I need to see it.
Yeah.
I really need to see it. I've been told. We saw Heretic.
Oh, Heretic, yeah.
I enjoyed.
That was good.
That was,
I think, if I saw that one again, I would like it better, because I think I went in... I liked it, don't get me wrong, but I think I went in with like a certain expectation, and it wasn't that, but not in a bad way. I just was like, also show me more of the house.
I love the mazes. The house, it definitely had like a Knives Out vibe, but more like thought-provoking.
And sinister
and
it was
dark.
Very thought-provoking.
And like really subverted my expectations.
No, the end
bit.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed.
Like, he a fucking freak.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching this like Nectar dating show.
Oh
like,
yeah, this leads into it.
Yeah, this leads into it. Nectar is a YouTube channel, if you guys don't know. Cody Ko used to like make a lot of videos reacting to... their content.
He's, like, canceled, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But that's how I, like, found out what Nectar is. And low-key, it's so crazy. Because they do, like, real-life Tinder. Have you seen Nectar videos? They do real-life Tinder
never
where they...
I've heard of Nectar.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Like, they're all like about swipe dating. Yeah, you swipe people in person. They bring, like, 100 people to the set. The and fuck? Then you swipe each other in person. It's that's brutal. Sad.
That's like those... I love those Jubilee videos where it's like, the two sides. And then, like, debate, like, a topic. It's, like... Mm-hmm. And it's, like, crazy shit. It's, like, pro-life, pro-choice. And you're, like... What yeah. the fuck?
Or like Cut.
You know, Cut. Oh, I love
Nectar
Cut.
Is pretty similar to Cut. But anyway, yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but it's this Nectar dating show. It's basically like Love Island, but like not as good and cheaper and like more real. Like it's more genuine okay. people.
That's cool.
It's more like Love House in LA. in Beverly Hills.
It's like the real world, but like Love Island?
Yes.
Okay.
The same concept where they just put a bunch of single people in a house. Yeah. And so I'm enjoying that right now because... We have been really enjoying guys, dating shows and dating TV.
Well, Love Island is our bitch. Like, we love her. We and love that's the her. Thing. I've watched, I think, a few more seasons than you may have watched.
Yeah, right? I've never actually watched...
But you're a Love is Blind kind
of
girl.
I watched more Love is Blind. Yeah. Well, I never really watched a full season of Love is Blind, or Love Island UK.
Really?
Have you?
Yeah, totally.
But
then it's like, for a while we'd, like, watch one and it'd be, like, pretty good, but we're like, fuck, we need a break. But now we're just, like, on a fucking
I'm hooked.
Because this we'll talk about it at the end, but this most recent season. I mean, I guess we can kick off by talking
let's
about
kick,
it.
Let's kick off.
Because I want to, like, discuss. Because yeah. Love Island US Season 6. Like, if you watch reality TV or even just, like, there's TikTok audios, like, of the cast and stuff, like, from the show that they pulled that are, like, going viral. And Emma, like, said it. And I was like, wait. She was like, do you know where that's from? And I was like, that's literally from Love Island. I was like, you're quoting like Love Island. So like, it's kind of a phenomenon right now. Like it's
it is.
And I think everyone like agrees that it's one of the best seasons that they've ever done. And they were
totally.
What the fuck is that noise? It sounded like a horse at first. It freaked me the fuck out. So it was like I thought it was like, but it was just like some machinery gearing up.
A giant horse is outside our apartment, you guys. Send help. I had to blow my nose really quick.
You know those memes where it's like, it's like a text message and it's like horse and it's like, I'm on your lawn or like whatever. Or it's like 10 wild hogs and it's like, we're outside. It's like that. But anyways, yeah, Love Island US Season 6. Fucking
and
banger.
I think it was the height of its popularity was this summer, so we're like a little bit late.
We're a little late.
People are definitely still talking about it because...
We're always a little late on this shit.
Yeah, we are.
Let's be real.
But, the lore was crazy. So, yeah, this episode today is going to be about reality TV dating shows, like reality dating shows.
And, like, Love Island specifically.
But specifically a focus on Love Island. Yeah, so I'm going to start off with just a history of reality dating shows in general. And just a warning, this is not going to be comprehensive, you guys, because there have been so many dating shows, especially in the 2000s.
Which is crazy how, like, we're... obsessed with that as like a culture like
yeah
for so from like I mean
and we'll talk about back. That
yeah
mm-hmm. let's yeah because I we definitely I want to discuss like we're going to discuss the ethics of it and like mm-hmm. why does this grip us, why do we like to watch people suffer but also like find love.
Clap if you want to see her suffer.
Yeah.
Clap if you want to see her suffer.
Okay, so let's get started. Let's start with early days, the early days, babes, of reality TV, babes. Okay, so the first reality dating show ever was called The Dating Game. It aired in 1965, and this was a time when sex and dating were very taboo topics, as we know. So it was very chaste compared to, like, today's dating shows. So no innuendos, no cursing, none of that. But the premise was basically you had a man or a woman, usually a woman, interviewing three eligible contestants who were behind a board so you couldn't see them. Kind of Love is Blind-like. Yeah. You're kind of getting to know someone off there.
It's like Bachelor number one. Like, remember
Shrek? That's literally Shrek. Bachelor number one.
That's like my favorite scene in Shrek. It's like, well, Bachelor number one. It's like,
she's a fun flirty.
She's a fun flirty girl who has the big problem falling asleep.
Me.
It's like Sleepy Beauty has been.
Me this past week. And it basically followed like a game show format because that's really what was the reality TV of the era was that game show format. And so the winners would be sent on a date together, but of course this was off screen. And fun fact, pre-fame Steve Martin and Farrah Fawcett were contestants on the show. Steve Martin.
What the fuck?
Can you believe
that? He'd be so weird on that show.
I know. Steve Martin. But it's like before he was famous.
He's a funny little guy.
Yeah, I love him. And this show became really iconic and it ran until 1999. I was like,
damn. Party like it's 1999.
Literally. There's a new Anna Kendrick movie out. It's based off of Rodney Alcala, who was a literal serial killer who was a contestant on the dating game in 1978.
That's fucking
crazy. And he was chosen as the winner. What was up
with murderers during the 70s and 80s?
Oh, dude, I know.
What?
They were running rampant in that time.
Now we just have, mass shootings, but...
Yeah, that's the new one thing.
But there's, not murderers out and about like that.
Ooh, I know.
Like, what?
Dude, I know. Fuck? So we haven't seen it yet. We're going to watch it this weekend. Yeah. But it's based off a true story, which is crazy. And luckily, so he was chosen as the winner to go on a date. But luckily, the girl, and I watched the original clip. Oh, luckily, the girl who chose him, because on TV, he seemed so charming.
I was going to say, was he creepy at all?
No, he seemed very charming. I feel
like they
make him look
really creepy in the movie. They make him, creepy.
Yeah. No, in the show, he, is acting super, charming and normal. It's, that's what makes it so creepy. Yeah. And she chooses him, but after the fact, she found him, super unsettling. And so she decided not to go out with him.
Trust your fucking gut, girls.
Literally saved her life. So luckily, that saved her life. But anyway, that's kind of just some crazy dating game lore. There was an actual serial killer. I don't think they did background checks back then.
Oh, they didn't know what a background check was.
Yeah.
They were like, you seem like a nice, charming man.
So let's move into the later years. So in the 80s, there was this dating show called Love Connection, which was pretty big, and it inspired The Bachelor, actually. Mm. But I'm going to focus, and obviously there were other, dating shows within this time period, but I want to jump to the 90s, because this is when we really start to see a shift from dating shows being about, finding a sweet, genuine connection mm-hmm. to it being more about, the drama of it all, which is, very characteristic of dating shows now, I think. Yeah. So in the 90s, there was Singled Out and Studs, which had contestants select from, really large dating pools, and these were, very chaotic and outrageous shows.
Always. The early 2000s and, late 90s were, the time for crazy fucking reality shit. TV. There was
holding back. Then the show called Blind Date premiered in 1999, and it basically followed a blind date to see what happens, but there's sarcastic voiceover and graphics to make it more interesting. So Blind Date really ushered in a new era of dating shows where we saw way more, and we actually got to go along on the dates with the couples, and it created this sense of voyeurism and surveillance culture,
yep.
Which is really baked into reality TV now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of when that started. It was you're not just seeing people choose someone to go on a date with, you're seeing the date and you're seeing way more. Yeah,
it's kind of terrifying.
It is,
and we love it.
Which is now to the most extreme nowadays, where you see them sleeping,
you see them fucking
practically, and, showering. It's kind of crazy. Uh-huh. MTV then popularized the idea of combining dating and competition shows by introducing elimination into the chat, so people not picked would be eliminated, so kind of raised the stakes a little bit.
Yeah.
So they had shows Next, Dismissed, and Date My Mom, which is not what it sounds like. Date My Mom is actually your mom basically goes on a date with someone and they pick who their daughter or son should date.
I think I remember that.
It was
there
big.
Was some weird TV at that time, and my I have a significantly older sibling.
Yeah.
So she would watch the craziest shit on MTV, and then my mom and dad would watch it with her, and there was just this weird thing where what is going on here?
MTV shows were also the first to open dating pools to same-sex daters with gay episodes of Next and Date My Mom, so that's cool. Date My Mom, gay edition. Let's jump into the 2000s, and I believe that the 2000s to today are the golden age of reality dating, I would say.
Okay.
In my personal opinion.
I think because it blends... Well, you'll go on, but I feel like there is, that element now where, it is, a genuine connection with people, mm-hmm. but also, the stakes are high, and it's drama, and it's, they've, really, they've got it down.
They've got it down to a T, for sure. They know how to balance it. So, when Survivor premiered in 2000, listen to our reality show episode, it completely changed reality TV in general, mm-hmm. and just spurred on this wave of, just egregious reality TV where, every show was trying to be more controversial and crazier than the last. Mm-hmm. We had shows like Joe Millionaire and For Love or Money, which started to bring money into the question, really, question people's morals, kind of.
Authenticity, which is a huge thing in reality dating. They're not here for the right reasons, blah blah blah. That's a big thing in reality dating shows.
It's questioning, are you really here for the right reason? And then Temptation Island came out in 2001. This is kind of a precursor to Love Island, I would say, where a bunch of couples were just placed on an island together with other singles to, like, test the couple's commitment to
each other. I would love to watch that.
I kind of want to watch that, too.
Should we? Like, we should watch that. That sounds good.
And it was controversial before it even came out. Then The Bachelor premiered in 2002. This is, like, one of the best examples, too, of the shift from an episodic structure to a season-long structure. So instead of every season or every episode being different people, you're following along the same people for a whole season, and so it allows the viewers to become, like, so much more invested in the contestants
and their lives.
The 2000s also marks the beginning of reality dating TV stars. So like contestants who have been memorialized in memes, Tila Tequila, New York, Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav! Oh my god! Yeah. That was one we were watching all the fucking time. We were always talking about Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. So that started to bring the question of, like, fame and clout into the mix. Like, are people here for money? Are they here for clout? Are they here for fame? What are they really here for? Yeah. Are they here for love?
The right reasons, yeah.
So then let's move into the 2010s to 2020s right now.
Yeah, brother.
So I would say the rise of, like, social media and technology has really been reflected in TV now, like dating shows now. So for instance, like MTV's 2013 show Are You the One, which we've watched.
Yeah, we've watched some shit.
Yep, that uses algorithms to help determine each other's perfect match. Mm-hmm. And then Love is Blind has the couples kind of get engaged before they even see each other in person and follows the aftermath of that. But that's basically a pushback of modern dating and the whole, like, modern dating via dating apps, because that's what a lot of the people say on there. They're like, oh, I feel like it's so looks based and I want someone just by their personality. And so it's kind of a pushback.
Like, everyone shut up. Let's be honest. You're not going to want to date someone unless you think they're hot, first and foremost.
Well, and that's why it's all about works. Looks.
Like, even if you're like, these are the most surface level people most of the time, even if you're looking for, like, a real genuine connection, the first thing in dating is what the person looks like. And that's just the truth. You know what I mean? It is. Like, that's just first impression.
Yeah.
So, like, people are always like, oh, like, I just, like, I don't care, like, about looks and this and that. It's like, you do. Everyone does. And
yeah.
It's fine.
That's exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's why Love is Not Blind, like...
Love is Not Blind.
It rarely works for people on the show.
Yeah. It's just, like, coincidental if they're both attracted to each other.
It's,
actually,
like, entirely luck-based, I think, Through social media, now contestants can go on and become famous influencers, like, think, you know, Serena and Cordell are, like, kind of influencers now. Like, Cordell is, like, the fucking cheese and spokesman from Love Island Season 6 because they won.
But Serena worked with, like, Beyonce's, like, hair care company. Now she's launching, her own company. Like, she's doing, like, the Lord's work out there. Like, she's actually doing well for herself.
So social media is a really big part of it now. And it also, like, allows fans to keep up with them after the show is over, but also while the show is happening. So, like, you know, in Love Island, the public votes who their least favorite couples are, ultimately leading to elimination. So it's interesting. I didn't really think about that until I did the research, but, like, technology and social media is really influencing how our modern dating shows are.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, it influences everything in life and everything in pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, for sure. And this era also just marks much more inclusivity in dating shows, which I think is really good. There's more shows that help people other than, like, cisgender heterosexual couples find love. You have, like, Love on the Spectrum, The Ultimatum Queer Love.
I wish there was more queer love.
some ones I've never heard of, but Couple to Thruple.
Oh, I've seen that one on...
It's crazy. Netflix. Yeah, Trans American Love Story, and many more.
Okay.
But that said, there's also been just, like, some absolutely out-of-pocket ones in recent
years. Oh my god.
Like, Dated and Related.
What about, MILF Manor?
MILF Manor. Oh. I kind of want to start watching that. I'm kind of curious about that.
Oh.
Well, there's definitely a dating show for everyone out there. Mm-hmm. And whatever you're looking for, there's one called Dating Naked, which is exactly how it sounds. You're just dating, but
for the
everybody's completely naked. Yeah, like, every community has got a dating show now, which I think is positive, but there is a lot of options out there, and it's really a big part of pop culture. So, but yeah, I intentionally left out one of the most iconic shows, Love Island
babes. So I'm going to get into it now because this is our shit. I'm going to do a history of Love Island and then get into kind of some of the more controversial things surrounding it.
Yes.
Okay, so Love Island is a reality dating show, obviously. It started in 2015, but the original show was actually a British, well, it's a British dating show, and the original was called Celebrity Love Island. Mm. So that aired in 2005, and they had, like, it was canceled shortly after, like, a few seasons. But then 10 years later, ITV, which is, like, the British Broadcasting Network that airs Love Island, brought it back, but they just put, like, a, instead of celebrities, which, because it cost a lot of money, and that's why it was canceled, like, have these, like, B-list celebrities on there, and, like, yeah, it's still just, like, and then, like, have a reward for them at the end. It was, like, it was just a lot of money and not a lot of viewers. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's just put a bunch of hot young people in there who want, like, a summer off.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did, and it actually, like, really took off. So basically the show follows 10 islanders at first, who are just, like, random people who auditioned to be on the show, but there's also, like, kind of a weird, like, industry plant thing where people kind of, like, scout, like, who is an influencer and who has a following, or, like, in the early days, it would be, like, girls who worked, like, in PR that they would, like, try to get, or girls that worked at clubs and stuff who were, like, in this, like, a certain personality, you know what I mean? Like, social, like, working in social roles.
Yeah.
So that they could, like, you know that they would be good for TV, basically, so that their viewers would go up. So, yeah, they take 10 islanders, 5 boys and 5 girls, and they're coupled up from the first episode, and they all, like, get to know each other and build different connections in order to win a cash prize for being the public's favorite couple at the end after everything. And the islanders are, like, continuously monitored with mics and cameras, like, every angle in this, like, fabricated villa on a random island for a period of 6 weeks up to 2 months. Like, the first few seasons of Love Island UK were, like, 2 months long, and I think all of them are, like, 6 weeks, about 6 weeks.
2 months is crazy.
2 months is crazy. That's why they're always saying, like, oh, this is gonna be such a fun summer, because they're fucking there all summer. Like,
oh my god, I would lose my fucking mind.
I know. And all they do every day is, like, work out, talk to each other,
talk,
eat, like, one meal a day,
eat avocado, literally, toast,
eat avocado toast, do their makeup,
do their makeup,
drink.
That's all.
Talk
they
some more.
Yeah, be fucking, I would horrible. Simply die.
Okay, so the couples recouple, like, every few weeks, and new islanders are added in at random to mix it up. So oftentimes the cast is, like, completely different at the end from what it is at the beginning. So the first season of the show is unsuccessful and still super expensive to make, and ITV considered canceling it, but they kind of, like, convinced the network that, like, it's gonna, like, take off because of, like, people are gonna be drawn to, like, the authenticity and the connection that these people have in there, because it's such over a long period of time. Like you were saying, there was not a lot of shows that at the time were, like, all these people living together. Like, this was, like, one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And it's good that they stuck with it, because between the first and second seasons, the viewers tripled. And that's based, like, thanks to a bunch of discussions and stuff and how it just, like, blew up on social media. Mm-hmm. So that's the only real reason, like, why Love Island took off, is because of social media.
Yeah.
And most of the people that are on there are on social media as influencers and or work in social media, shit like that. So without social media, we wouldn't have Love Island. Currently, the show has 21 international versions, with most popular being Love Island USA, of course, Love Island Australia, which once I heard that the current season is really good, so once they have that up, we should watch that one.
Yes!
It probably won't be till, like, next year, but
yes.
Love Island Canada, Germany, Poland, and then others including Norway, Denmark, Nigeria, New Zealand, Romania, Spain, South Africa, Sweden, Malta, Italy, Israel, Hungary, Greece, France, Finland, and the Czech Republic.
Holy shit!
I know, people love this show. Like, it seriously is, like, a phenomenon.
I did not know there was that many international versions.
I know. Yes, like I said, the franchise has really only grown in popularity over the years, but there is a dark and concerning history to Love Island. And there have been many conversations about how the show handles, like, race, social media presence, body image, and just overall treatment of the contestants' mental health and, like, well-being.
Totally.
I got a lot of information from that Unreal podcast. There's this BBC podcast called Unreal, A Critical History of Reality TV, and they did a two-part episode on Love Island, so I got, like, a lot from that. And also Broey Deschanel does, like, a video essay on it as well. So go check those out for, like, more in-depth stuff, but I'll get into the big controversies. Okay, so the first and foremost is, like, the well-being of the contestants, and there have been 4 recent deaths connected to the show, including 3 contestants, Sophie Gordon, Aaron Armstrong, both in 2018, and Mike Thalassidis. Actually, I think that's right. Mike Thalassidis in 2019, as well as the old host, Carolyn Flack, in 2022. And that's why,
What happened to them all? They died?
They committed suicide after being on the show.
Oh, my God.
A lot of it because of the backlash that they got after the show.
I bet.
And we talked about that before, like, season 6, where we're like, feel bad for these people because they're just, like, I mean, even Aaron, who we fucking hated, it's like, he probably got so much shit.
And, like,
and he was, like, never Rob is his friend or something. Like, he has friends to back him up, but that probably was brutal.
Oh, he got so much shit from the cast and from people on social media. Oh, yeah. Like, never ending.
Couldn't imagine. And of course, like, the show wasn't, like, obviously suicide is very complex and mental health is really complex and it's a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that was the only reason that they did that, but it's such a big, like, glaring thing that you have to take into consideration as, like, potentially contributing to why they took their lives, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, like, did bring up a lot of conversations about, like, the effects of constant surveillance and the emotional intensity that goes on the show, and if that's even ethical to, like, put people under, even though they consent to it to some extent, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, so this was on the podcast. One of the contestants, Zara Holland, she was from season 2 of UK. She said, "You think you're on a summer holiday and you might find love, but you're in a posh prison where you don't know what time it is and a voice in the wall tells you what to do. The show screwed me up. I blame it for everything. What it does to its contestants is terrible." And a lot of people have, like, come out after the show and been like, I think in recent years it's gotten better, but especially early on there was, like, no assistance for people, you know, mental health wise.
I'm sure.
So after the deaths of the 3 contestants and the host, the show did bring in a duty of care procedures. In 2019, there was an examination of care for the participants by Ofcom, which, like, is a media regulator. And they warned ITV that they could possibly lose its broadcasting license if Love Island, like, failed to protect the well-being of future contestants.
Good.
So the show claimed that they employed services of a chief medical officer to come in and evaluate the welfare systems already in place following the deaths. And they said that it was, like, pretty solid, but that they added even more implementations to, like, help the cast. So post-2021, the changes that the show implemented were, like, psychological checks on the contestants before entering the show, meetings with therapists before filming, and receiving 14 months of free support after the show.
Nice.
And it's one of the best welfare packages offered to contestants, at least in, like, the UK version.
Good.
And it seems pretty much the same for, like, I feel like there's a question, too, of, like, how much are the producers actually, because we kind of got it behind the scenes in the reunion of season 6, mm-hmm. where it's, like, the producers do have
they're like the puppet masters.
They are, and it's like, to some extent, like, you know, when people are really crashing out and stuff, I think they might have to talk to them to be like, let's reel it in, have a therapy sesh. Like, I think a lot of that is going on behind the scenes to keep it regulated, because honestly, out of all reality TV, like, Love Island is the most, like, I mean, we'll talk about it, it's like just the most, like, regulated, and people are more like, because they're aware that they're being constantly surveillanced, and, like, that's kind of the format the show is, like, to be perceived in a certain way, that they're, like, very, it's very sanitized, you know? Mm-hmm. So they want to keep that, like, look. Mm-hmm. So they have to make sure that the mental health is in place, because it's such a intense few weeks of, like, being in that environment.
It's, like, such an emotionally intense environment. Exactly. But also, it's, like, they also kind of want them to have these big breakdowns and stuff, too, because it makes good TV.
Exactly.
Like, I think it's a balance of, like, the actual welfare of the contestants, but also, like, getting good content.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a whole thing, too, like, you know, a lot of people really blame the producers and, like, the editors for how things are edited as well. Like, the biggest thing is that reality TV shows survive off of drama and confrontation, you know? And, like, those are definitely some, like, the best seasons of Love Island are the ones where there's the most confrontation and there's the most drama and they're mixing it up the most. Like, they really did that on season 6.
Oh, yeah.
But that also can, like, be a procured, like, narrative that doesn't really always reflect. I think this Love Island season really does a good job of, like, showing both sides and, like, we really, really got us thinking. But a lot of them are, like, people have reflected afterwards and been, like, that wasn't, like, how I was trying to come off with that thing. Or, like, so there's been, like, lots of controversy of, like, how it's edited as well.
Yeah, because
and
it,
then,
like,
the backlash
you,
they get.
Yeah, it, like, paints you in a certain way without showing the full story.
Yeah, and so, like, one of the contestants who was, like, really vilified on social media after, Megan Barton Hansen, she was went on press and said that she was like, it was hideous to see everyone's opinion and even big newspapers ridiculing me for how I looked. That was really hard for me to deal with mentally. And that's when it really toes on, like, the unethical, because it's like you're constantly being watched and then ridiculed. And it's this whole thing of, like, how you look, how you act. Like, it's just like you're on blast all the time.
All the time. And, like, we see you at your most vulnerable moments. Mm-hmm. We're seeing you in the early stages of dating, having awkward first dates.
Fuck, I would die.
Being jealous because someone you used to date is now dating someone else.
Crashing out, simply crashing out.
Yeah,
we've all been there.
I could literally never do this. No. Like, you are seeing someone at their most vulnerable emotional moments.
Yeah. So, like, another side of it is the effects of, like I said, social media and, like, why it took off, but, like, kind of the darker side of that, and also fast fashion and how that plays into the show, which is really interesting. So the reality of the show, of course, is that a lot of people go on Love Island to become social media influencers, or they are starting off one and they want to build a career on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't, like, really a thing early on. Like I said, there was kind of these, like, promo girls who were, like, in the media industries, like adjacent industries, PR, like working for clubs, like social jobs mm-hmm. that they would like recruit for the show. And a lot of contestants, I mean, nowadays it's kind of gone into the same thing, but it's just like, oh, people have a strong following on, you know, social media, mm-hmm. kind of the same thing. And a lot of the contestants have talked about how obsessed with their social media following they've like become, and how other Islanders on the show even had that, and that how that was like a main goal of theirs, just to go on to like get a greater following, brand deals. And now I feel like mm-hmm. they're much more like transparent about that. And that didn't really happen until like, I think it was season 3, one of the first like girls who came on, or no, that was like later on. Her name was Molly May, but she was, oh yeah, she was a bombshell in season 5, Love Island UK. And she was like the first one to come in and be like, my work, the job I do is like social media. And she was like the first like actual influencer to like go onto the show.
Good.
And she went on to become like the creative director of like a like this brand, Little Sun, which pays her £400,000, about like £500,000 in, or $500,000 a month, just to like be working like, not like a creative director, but she's basically just a face for a brand.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And like I said, like we said with Serena and Cordell, it's like it's kind of the same thing. Like, good for them because we love them, but it's like, that's, you didn't really do anything, you know, like you were liked yeah. by the public. Like, that's crazy.
No, it is kind of all about being likable. Mm-hmm.
So Simeon Brown, who's the author of this book called Get Rich or Die Trying, which is basically about like the influencer economy, which sounds really interesting, he said on a podcast, he was like, the relationship between Instagram, fast fashion, and Love Island is super intense. Fast fashion companies who provide money, who provide free clothes, not only do they provide the income for the ecosystems, create substantial and high profile winners, they set apart these people as desirable new forms of celebrity. It really is a new form of celebrity from these shows.
Yeah.
And like on the show, the producers would actually order in clothes from like ASOS and fast fashion companies. That's how they have all these outfits. And we're like, how'd they pack for that? It's just the producers' influence that they're just spending so much money on fast fashion. Mm-hmm. And that's like how, like, it really feeds into that. And it's like a really weird ecosystem of like influencer on the show feeding into fast fashion, and they go on to have brand deals with those brands. That is just yeah. like a cyclical process that's like really pushing fast fashion, which is just bad for the environment too. So it's like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. Of course, the next thing, like we're talking about, the ridicule is often like how people of various races are treated on the show, and just people's appearance and how they're ridiculed for that, like heavily on the show. And like, it's one thing when we're on our couch and we're like, Erin looks so stupid, when it's another thing where it's like,
blah, blah, we would never go on social media.
All the work that she got done, and blah, 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 and like putting people on blast like that.
And we would never like go on social media and like actually yeah. like roast these people.
Exactly. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
So like, Love Island also does have like a history of like a lack of representation of people of color. And many of the times before, like in recouplings and stuff like that, they would often like just be eliminated first, and they weren't really given like a valid chance. And I think nowadays, like, you know, we see Serena and Cordell have like won, and it's like a lot more of an emphasis on like, people of color, but I think it's also different in like USA, where like in other countries maybe it's like yeah. you know, a lot more whitewashed.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of been something that's a little bit more refreshing, to have like more of a diverse cast nowadays. But totally. That was like a real problem early on.
Yeah.
And like I said, of course there's tons of talk of people's look, which is really hard on people's just like body image and like self-esteem. You know, most of the women are super skinny, have had cosmetic work done, mm-hmm. while the men are like super muscular, clean cut. There's like a specific type that enters onto the show, mm-hmm. and there's so much work that goes into achieving that aesthetic for them, though. Like, there have been yeah. many of the contestants have talked about getting negative press after the show and how they looked, especially for the women, because of their surgeries. But they've talked about how they put in so much money and energy, and how even when they were on the show, like before going on the show, people would go to them and be like, I'll pay for these surgeries for you and stuff like that, like different brand deals and whatever, because they're really forming these new celebrities, like, just mm-hmm. people who to get, make them money. Like, yeah. they're just objects at that point. But even then, it's like, if they're wanting to get work done or wanting to do whatever, like, they shouldn't, that shouldn't be the main point of topic. And it's like, they felt like there was this expectation for them to get those surgeries and to look a certain way, and then they're on the show and they still get ridiculed for how they look after. Mm-hmm. So it really is like a vicious cycle, where especially women are expected to like look a certain way, and then are ridiculed for the operations they've done, or mm-hmm. they're not thin enough, or for men, they're not fit enough. And despite all their efforts to look a certain way, they're still going to be treated like shit on social media. And it's just like,
always.
That's so bad for your mentee bee,
your mentee bee.
Yeah. So that finally leads me to like the last point, like we kind of talked about, which is like surveillance culture, and how that also is like fucked up on people. In the Chloe Deschanel video, she talks about like the panopticon, which is like the concept, the design of like prisons, where there's like the tower in the middle, and all the cells are, like, facing that. So it's, like, you can't see if there's a guard in there or not, so you kind of have to always be on your best behavior, because you don't know if you're being watched. Like, you're kind of, it's assumed that you're being watched all the time, so you have to be on your best behavior, which is exactly what Love Island is. Like, with all the cameras and everything, you know that you're constantly being surveilled, so you have to just, like, act a certain way all the time and have this perfectly formed image of what you want to present, like, whether that's you're playing, you know, a nice, you know, sweet girl, or you, like, want to kind of be that, like, person who's, like, kind of stirring up drama, or being like Liv, who was, like, really upfront and, like, honest, like, however you want you know to be, how you want to represent yourself, you have to, like, be on all the time. But yeah, because of those mechanisms of control, like, in the villa are so intense that people have to, like, constantly be regulating, like, how they are, and they still, like we said, they'll still get public criticism after the show regardless of that. But that means that the show regulates, like, sexuality a lot more, because, like, it's kind of that weird thing of, like, they'll show people having sex, but for most of the time, like, people aren't, like, sleeping around like that on the show. Like, there's some reality TV where people, it's like, that's the big thing, and they're always just, like, sleeping with random people, blah blah blah. Like, on Love Island, it's, like, kind of hush hush more about that, because, like, they know that they're constantly being, like, watched, and there's, like, already this certain sanitized version of sexuality on there.
Yeah, and also you're, like, sharing a room with, like, a bunch of other couples. Yeah, so if you want to get, like, freaky, like, you, it's embarrassing.
You're exposed to everyone. Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, like, weird how it's become so, like, sanitized just because of, like, I don't know, just the mechanisms of control. Like, that's, yeah, that you have to constantly be regulating it, because they're always, like, walking on eggshells.
Always
a bit of, like,
watching.
Yeah, big brother.
Big
for real.
Fucking brother.
And, like, that kind of comes down to the last thing of, like, we always talk about how it truly is, like, a social experiment. Like, even though the participants consent to being on the show and being watched all the time, and they know that the ridicule is going to follow and all of these things, it still can feel, like, unethical, because you're watching all these people and you're like, I shouldn't be watching this. Like, I shouldn't.
This is so private.
Yeah, it's so private. Like, yeah. I shouldn't have a view into, like, all these people's dating lives right now. Like, that's too much. So it is, like, a really weird thing that we talk about all the time, where we're really just, like, amazed by the show generally about, like, how it's just, it really is a social experiment.
They're rats in a maze. They and, like, are. They do things to intentionally make psychologically worse for them, like having to be sleeping in the same room as your ex, basically.
Yeah, it's
and
torment.
Seeing them with other people.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's so, and, like, the competitions they have them do that always, like, stir up drama.
Stir the pot, like, yeah.
They are crazy.
Yeah. But I feel like I think watching this past season, we were really, like, on our shit about, like, I don't know, it really did a good job of, like I said, like, showing two sides of things and showing, like, how people can change and, like, you can, like, learn from their mistakes and, like, really good friendships. And there was, like, you know, despite all the bad shit about Love Island that I just talked about, with this past season, I was like, there is something really good that comes out of this. And a lot of the couples that were strong couples on the show are still couples now.
Yes.
And it hasn't been that long since it aired, but, like, you know, those are solid relationships.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Real strong relationships, friendships, like, and I feel like I learned a lot about just, like, at least heterosexual, like, relationships and dynamics watching that show. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, that's kind of enlightening.
Yeah, this recent season was, like, there's a lot more nuance to the characters. Characters, the real people.
I know, it's crazy. Like,
because
these characters.
Like characters. But yeah. Like, there's a lot of nuance to them. A lot of them did show growth and maturity throughout the season.
Rob
kind of grew on us. Like, we hated fucking Rob at the beginning, and, like, he can be cringe for show, but, like, he did kind of grow. He definitely had some growth. I was proud of him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it was so crazy. Yeah, I feel like it was much more nuanced this season.
I think it was interesting because before, because they haven't done it as often where the guys go to Casa and then guys come to the villa too. And you see, like, both sides of things. And I think they just, like, there was a lot of this, like, back and forth, he said, she said, which often they just play into and, like, edit a certain way to, like, make it more dramatic. But the drama was still there, but it was also like, oh, I'm seeing his side, where, like, I've been in her shoes before and, like, felt that way.
Yes.
But now I'm seeing his side, and that, like, kind of opened my mind to, like, I don't know, honestly, like, understanding, like, straight men. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was kind of, like, enlightening in that way. Like, okay.
It was
enlightening. You got to, like, see other people's, like, intentions and, like, how they talked behind the scenes before, like, going into a confrontation, and how people handled stuff really poorly.
Differently.
And how some people really handled it well. And I was like, wow, that just made me reflect on my own like same ups we and downs in relationships. Yeah, we were
reflecting heavily. Yeah. And I think this season especially had such a great cast of very relatable characters mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. felt like a lot more empathetic.
Like, I could really like I saw the ups and like the flaws and like good parts of like each person that was on the show. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I really like this about you. But like, they just felt like real people. Like,
they did.
They weren't so social media-fied, sanitized versions. It felt like this was kind of a breakthrough where it's like, oh, we're seeing like real, authentic people right now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it was still like under the lens of like, yeah, you're all social media influencers.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. But yeah, you see like their highs and lows of dating, and you mm-hmm. can like relate to aspects of that, and you can relate to different kind of relationship like nuances. Like yeah. Serena and Cordell's relationship was really like this mm-hmm. slow burn, and that like at the beginning she didn't feel this instant spark, but like look at them now. Maybe this season they kind of picked up on the fact that like I think viewers are tired of boring hot influencers who are only clout seeking.
And I think that was the thing. I don't think the past season was as successful, because remember we kind of started watching it,
yeah,
and it was just kind of like a hard season watch. Five. Yeah, because yeah. everyone, that's why Berkey like stood out so much, because everyone was like Instagram baddie, whatever yes. boring person, and then it was like this normal fucking dude, and you're like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, they were boring. These people felt like
you signed the Berkey release report.
Berkey, guys, like, what the fuck is up with that anyway? That's a whole other thing. I don't even think I can finish watching season 5.
Berkey release form? No, it was really hard to watch. It was
really weird. Season 6 is the best so far. But like, I think
amazing. Like you said, they're picking up on that, where it's like, people were getting bored of Love Island. That was the whole thing of, like, yeah. it became so sanitized and so, like, cookie cutter that people were like, I'm getting fucking bored of this shit.
Yeah.
And they pulled out all the fucking all stops for this season. And that's why it was so good. It was, like, the best people on it. The craziest drama, because they kept adding new things left and right. Like, it was kind of like on your toes the whole time, which yeah. doesn't usually happen with Love Island. Mm-hmm. Even though I've loved past seasons, nothing will ever be. Like,
this
now,
one was crazy.
There was a time before Love Island USA season 6, and there's a time after.
We are changed women. We really are. But really, there's, like, way more people in this season yeah. to root for, like, really root yeah. for. Also, the friendships that were made, I think, made this season very successful. There was a really big emphasis on friendship,
mm-hmm.
and I think that made them, like, it just shows, like, the nuance of relationships, but also friendships, because the mm-hmm. friendships, they have some blips sometimes,
yeah.
and they work it out, and, like, it's just... Wow, like,
it was good really fucking good TV. Job. Really good fucking TV, like, for real. It was yeah. amazing.
So, I hope that they keep that up, because I think it does depend on the cast, like, for sure, like, mm-hmm. the type of cast you have. And that cast was just perfect.
Like, every single person that they had on it was just, like, yes.
Amazing. Like, except for, like, Kane. Purpose. Like, what?
Kane. Oh, I forgot.
He was there for, like, one day, and they were like, get him the fuck out of here. Like, you have 5 minutes to pack. Bye.
Yeah, they said, bitch, you got 5 minutes to pack. Leave. Like, we don't
fuck
like, with
we
you.
We gotta get him the fuck out of here. No, but literally. Everybody else
about the
up.
Villa.
Wait, do you want to end by talking about our favorite reality TV shows? Personally?
Sure.
Because I wanted to bring up 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my god, 90 Day Fiancé.
Because remember that?
Do you remember how we used to do Fuck, Marry, Kill? You want to do Fuck, Marry, Kill for old time's sake? Like, contestants on the show or something?
Oh my god, yeah.
Okay.
But wait, I want to say this. Okay, yeah, favorite reality dating shows, 90 Day Fiancé.
That
which
was
pretty, like,
we had a moment.
That is, like, almost too real. Like, the people they choose yeah. are so real that
it
it's,
doesn't
like,
really
sometimes
age
so cringe.
Well, you know what I mean?
And, like, sometimes you have to like, be so stoned to watch it, because you're like, what the fuck? But it's good. It's fun. It's early seasons of Love is Blind, like, I don't think Love is Blind is as good anymore, but early seasons, crazy. Mm-hmm. The Ultimatum Queer Love,
we're waiting patiently for
waiting,
the next season.
Waiting,
like, we need that shit.
But, like, I really hope, and honestly, Love Island is, like, up there now.
Oh, Love Island's my number one, for sure. Yeah. Especially the US ones, I it's think. They're also better than the UK ones, but whatever. Yeah. We gotta try Australia.
Let's try Australia.
Maybe, like, an older season, too, we could watch.
I would try an older season of UK.
I do like Are You the One, just because it's like that that's it's got that early 2000s like just like crazy
craziness.
Fucking unhinged
yeah.
dating show, and I like that about it, but it, like, I have my limits with that, because sometimes it's like fucking relax, bro.
Oh my god, yeah.
Those are probably my favorite. Like, I don't have like tons that I watch. Okay, Fuck, Marry, Kill. Aaron, Kendall, Connor.
Wait,
remember Connor?
Oh, no,
you hate Connor. I hate him too. He's just
that's
weird.
Hard.
I know.
Dude, they're all the worst ones. Okay, Kendall is the best out of those, for sure. I would say Kendall I would marry.
Okay.
I don't want to fuck any of those other guys. They're ugly. Oh, God. I guess if I had to, I would fuck Aaron over Connor. Connor, there's no way I'm
really?
Fucking that man. fucking. And I don't like Aaron, and I'm the last person to like Aaron.
But Aaron's also ugly, and no, sucks. Aaron, like, at least Connor was, like, kind of nice.
That's true, Connor
I think
nice.
I'd fuck him.
I guess I'd have to fuck him.
Make it quick. I feel like he's, like, he can't last very long anyways.
Oh, my God. And then Aaron killed. You're right.
Yeah, I'm nuking your house, bitch.
Yep.
Let's just do, like, main girls, maybe? Yep. Kaylor, Janae. Let's keep our favorites out. I mean, I like Leah, but I want to throw her in for the mix because she's an interesting one.
I think I would rather marry Leah just because, like, spending
she's
time
funny.
With her, she's funny.
You have I'd rather... to peel the tomatoes.
You have to peel and look at you, stupid in your overalls. Looking stupid in your overalls.
Why are you crying when I...
Miguel,
just like,
like,
and there
just
you
cares.
Are, like, crying like a little baby.
Miguel just, like, cares for me, and, like, Rob was, like, not meeting my needs. I also love impersonating Aaron and being like, no, Kayla.
Kayla, I didn't even mean, like, I didn't mean, I didn't even
like
say that.
That.
He lied so many fucking
he
times
was
in that
such
show.
A fucking little prick.
Little piss baby.
It wasn't like that, Kayla.
Kayla, I love you, okay? I'm gonna say
I
love
you.
Shut the fuck up.
This is my granny's ring. Like, I love you, Kayla. You don't understand, like, Daniela. You're
Daniela.
Gonna get me in trouble, Daniela.
Daniela, no. Look, I'm gonna... Oh, my God, Daniela.
Oh, my God, look, Daniela, like...
Okay, FMK.
Okay. I would marry Leah. I would fuck... what's her name? Kaylor,
same.
Because she's
Kaylor's
pretty.
Hot, yeah.
She's really pretty, but she's stupid. I couldn't marry her.
No,
she's a little
too annoying.
Stupid.
I'm
yeah.
sorry to say. I love
and
her, but she's too annoying.
Maybe this is an unpopular opinion, because I think a lot of people like Janae.
A lot of people like Janae.
Janae is popular.
Janae pissed me off.
Janae bored me.
I mean, besides, like, being mad at people, like, she didn't do anything wrong, but she just annoyed me the most out of anyone on that show, besides, like, you know, the problematic men on the show.
Yeah. But I do think in the reunion, like, she
stepped up.
Really
I love how she pulled
gorgeous.
Out her notes.
Yeah.
She's like, hold up, I got notes.
I liked her more after the reunion.
Me too.
Than
I think on, just
the on
the
show,
she was very fake. Like, she just came off like a fake high school girl.
And she just had nothing of substance. Like, I just felt like she was very boring. Yeah. I do like her relationship with Kenny. I think they work really well. And I was happy for her to be with Kenny because she was struggling.
Yeah.
And I was happy that
I'm
she
glad
found
she had that
a man like Kenny.
Yeah.
But I would probably kill her,
Yeah. Wait, what was the host's name? What's her name?
Ariana Maddox.
Remember? Every fucking time Ariana Maddox would come on the screen, Ryan or Jeremiah would be like, who is that? Who is that? We'd be like, Ariana Maddox.
We'd be like, so pissed. We'd be like, how many times do we have to tell you? Ariana Maddox, like, fucking learn her name. Because every time the boys would watch, they'd be like,
who is that? Like, Ariana Maddox.
Like, who the fuck is that?
Fuck.
Guys, it's the host of the fucking show. Put some respect on my girl's name. Anyway.
Well, damn, that was
great.
We really got into it. We got
it. Oh, yeah. We did.
Guys, go watch Love Island USA Season 6. You will not regret it.
You will
it's
not
the
regret
best
it. Some of the best reality. No, like, actually,
genuinely.
Probably the best reality TV I've watched
yeah,
in
like
a very long time.
Watch it with your mom. Watch it with your grandma. Like, they'll eat it up, too, I guarantee.
We were on the edges of our seats. Like, we
really
I mean,
were.
Literally, the day after the election, we were both depressed.
Oh, yeah.
And we watched Love Island for seven
hours. No, we just
hours.
Got baked. And we literally watched,
we watched it for 7 hours. No joke.
And then we DoorDash.
And then we DoorDash Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Hey, we needed a self-care day.
Hey, yeah. Our country's falling apart, so. Watch some Love Island.
Watch some Love Island.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next time. The usual. Follow us on Instagram. TikTok. Link below. Email us.
Say
what's up. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye.